Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for meditation this morning comes from the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 12th chapter, which you heard read earlier. And when I read that gospel lesson, did anything strike you as odd? Listen again. Jesus said, "I came to cast fire on the earth. Do you think that I might have come to give peace on earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, in one house, there will be five divided, three against two, and two against three." And then at the end of the gospel text, I said, "This is the gospel of the Lord." Boy, it sure doesn't sound like gospel to me. It doesn't exactly paint the rosy picture that many of us Christians normally imagine when it comes to faith in life in Christ Jesus. After all, we're Christians. God loves us. Doesn't he want us to be peaceful and happy? I thought he wanted life to be wonderful and carefree. And aren't all Christians supposed to get along with other people going by the name Christian? Be at peace with one another and love one another, even though we have some differences. It always comes as a shock when there is a division amongst those who go by the name Christian. And Jesus is clear in our text this morning that there will be division, pain, and sorrow. It is normal. They are expected to happen within the household of faith. It is normal when people who identify themselves as Christians are at war with one another. And what is abnormal is the sinful, perverted, and corrupt human understanding of how we pervert God's church on earth and what we desire to make it look like and sound like in her mission and calling on earth. Now, let me make it clear. Jesus' words here do not give you license to go out and stir up trouble and division with your brothers and sisters in Christ over any and every little thing. Many church families have split over the wrong reasons, because the stubborn old Adam will have us fight to the death on useless little hills, fighting battles that have nothing to do with proper doctrine or proper faith and trust in God. Now, the division that Jesus is speaking of, it's only when you and I completely trust our triune God, trusting in his holy word, it's only then that we will suffer that division and encounter taunting and insolence and ridicule and slander, even among those who go by the name of Christian. It's normal, it's natural, and it is to be expected. And we heard it illustrated in our intro this morning. The psalmist writes, "For it is not an enemy who taunts me, it is not an adversary who deals insolent with me. But it is you, a man, my equal, my companion, my familiar friend. We used to take sweet counsel together within God's house. We walked in the throng." You see, your adversary in this context is not an enemy from the outside, but it is your companions and your friends who you've worshiped with Sunday after Sunday throughout your life. It is those who have fallen for the devil's lies. They're your brothers and sisters who have strayed from God's pure and holy word and have been deceived by the subtle teachings of the great tempter. There are those out there who wish to coexist with the world and be tolerant and inclusive of false gods and false doctrines that lead to eternal damnation. There are many who go by the name of Christian, yet they promote and advocate for abortion and fornication and all sorts of immorality in their ever-growing LGBTQ XYZ alphabet soup. They are those who say things like, well, I'm forgiven. It doesn't matter if I go out and live like hell all week long because I'll receive the absolution next Sunday. There are those who encourage universalist worship and prayer with other religious groups who do not confess Jesus Christ as the only Savior of the world. Now, possibly you're sitting there thinking, gee, I wish so-and-so was here because I think Pastor's talking about them. Well, here's the hard pill to swallow. When you are in the midst of strife and division, did you ever consider the fact that possibly you are the one who has been deceived and you are the one who has been led astray? Look into the mirror of the law, because possibly you are the one who does not want to endure sound teaching but have wandered off into myths that suit your own passions. Examine yourself. Is it you? Go to God's Word and test the spirits and see if the spirits are from God or if they are from the devil. See if you are standing on the rock of God's Word or have you fallen into one of the devil's lies. And then, as every faithful Christian should daily do, repent. Turn from all your sinfulness, repent and believe in the gospel. Repent and pray, Lord, keep me steadfast in your word. Curb those who by deceit or sword would wrest the kingdom from your son and bring to naught all he has done. Through his prophet Jeremiah, our Lord God says, do not listen to the words of the prophets who prophesy to you, filling you with vain hopes. They speak visions of their own minds, not from the mouth of the Lord. The Lord continues, let him who has my word speak my word faithfully. What has straw in common with wheat, declares the Lord? Is not my word like fire, declares the Lord? Like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces? You see, after the harvest, the farmers do not commingle the wheat with the straw, for the straw cannot be used in the place of wheat, and the wheat cannot be used in the place of straw. So too, the faithful Christian dare not commingle the straw of false doctrines and false teachers with the life-giving Word of God that creates and nourishes and purifies true faith. That's why it is imperative that your pastor continually tells you, daily immerse yourself in God's Word. St. Paul tells us that all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Search and study God's Word. The pastor's conference I went to 2 weeks ago, one of the speakers said, mine God's Word, as if you're going after gold. Mine the text. Pull out those precious nuggets of God's Word. God's Word is like fire. It is like a hammer. God's law strikes down obvious sinners. It strikes down false saints. And most especially, it crushes the heart of unwitting sinners like you and me. His law drives you to despair. It drives you to terror, driving you to contrition and sorrow of the heart. And there it produces in you a ready reception to receive the sweetness of the gospel. It's all God's work. working through his word inside of you, the sweetness of the gospel, that Jesus came not to condemn the world, but to save poor, miserable sinners like you and me. This gospel text is a difficult one to hear. However, take comfort in Jesus' promise that no one is able to snatch you out of the Father's hand. Because God's ultimate purpose is not to divide parents or spouses from one another, or divide parents from children and children from their siblings. God's chief goal is to divide you and me away from our selfishness and sin. And in doing so, this division unites us with God himself and all believers. You see, in our text, Jesus' words describe what happens when we are not divided away from our sin and our selfishness. In the text, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to face a baptism of torture and death. And along the way, his teaching generates a fire that destroys and divides and refines. His word is no easier to hear today than it was 2,000 years ago. Like the Lord God's word through the prophet Jeremiah that we heard earlier, Jesus casts fire on earth by calling people to turn from their sin, repent, and believe in the one true God. Yes, Jesus indeed brings division. In his earthly ministry, religious leaders who heard him refused to believe and repent. They rejected Jesus' message and plotted to kill him. This caused division, separating them from God himself. Family members who heard Jesus preaching and believed were separated from their own family members who heard and did not believe, separating themselves from God. And you'll recall that even Jesus himself was not welcome in his hometown of Nazareth, even rejected by his very own family. But for those who believe, they lay hold of the promise of forgiveness, salvation, and eternal life. And this is the good news in our gospel text today. Your crucified and resurrected Savior is still daily causing division. He is working through his word and his sacraments. He divides you from your sinful thoughts, words, and deeds. He divides you from false views of Christian life and distortions of his word and doctrine. And he sends his Holy Spirit to purify and sanctify your hearts, sanctifying the whole Christian church on earth, keeping it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. It was at the font in the waters of holy baptism. You were united with God the Father. God united you with Jesus Christ, with his death and his resurrection, making you an heir of all the treasures of heaven. When some family members hear and believe and others hear and do not believe, those divisions do inevitably arise in the family. But you, fellow redeemed, lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and run with endurance the race that is set before you, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus has already faced all the hostility, all the suffering and the shame. You're not going to face anything in this world that he hasn't already gone through. So don't worry and be faint-hearted. Prepare yourselves. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. Go out into the world and be a light for Jesus. spreading his pure and perfect word. Whenever the world celebrates what God's word condemns, speak the truth in Christian love. Teach, reprove, correct, and be an example of the Christian life in this world. Will it be easy? Well, of course not. We know what it did to Jesus. Will it cause division? Most certainly it will. Jesus promises you this: you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but the one who endures to the end will be saved. You know, our society, not too many years ago, used to beg Christians to tolerate their sinful and immoral ways. But the tides have changed. Now they demand that you bow down to their false gods and idols and praise and celebrate their immorality and evil ways. Because of your confession, the world will demand that you lose your job, lose your business, your livelihood, lose your goods and your reputation. But that doesn't matter. Those are the things of the earth that fade and pass away. Stand firm on God's word, for what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and forfeit his soul? Dear Christian, do not let Jesus' division among family, friends, and the world divide you from faith in Christ Jesus and his precious gifts of life, forgiveness, and salvation. Live a life that is pure, holy, and blameless. Devote yourselves to prayer and the word. Give your tithes and offerings and do good works and deeds amongst this unbelieving world. Not that they count toward your salvation, but because they are all God-pleasing and his good and gracious will for your life. You see, the Son of God left the glory of heaven so that he could endure all of the fire of God's wrath against your sin on your behalf, atoning for your sin, reconciling you with the Father. And for the sake of Jesus, today you have the peace of knowing that Jesus has made peace between you and God the Father. Jesus divides you from your selfishness and your sin. And most especially, he divides you from death unto everlasting life. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.